Well, here we are yet again in some sort of a lockdown. I'll be glad when it's all over. I'll be glad when the sanctuary can be filled again. But that's a praise God item to which we can look forward. You and I need to be very cautious, though, that all of this just doesn't get us down so much that we can't exist anymore or can't do what we want to do. It's easy enough to be discouraged, even to the point of depression, perhaps. However, we need to remember this did not take our Lord by surprise. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He's allowed it to happen for a number of reasons, I suspect. But we are at the point now where we're just getting a little bit tired of it all. On the one hand, and people have asked me this, is this the tribulation? Well, no, it's not the tribulation. It's yet to come, but it's tribulation-like. I think the pandemics, those kind of things, pestilences, will be happening during the tribulation to an even deeper extent than it is even now. But I believe the Lord has allowed us to go through this in order to alert us and keep us alert and look to His Word so that we can receive the kind of information that we really need to receive. You and I, as individual Christians, we need to continue to pray for our governments at all levels, that they will make the right decision that will be of benefit to all. I would not want to be a leader in government today. Be very, very difficult. It doesn't matter what you do. Somebody thinks it's going to be wrong. But on the other hand, they're doing the best that they can. Their best isn't quite good enough, but they're doing the best that they can. And of course, as we all know, they are looking to every human source possible, scientists and medical practitioners and politicians, trying to come up with the right solution. But one element that I seem to think is missing, at least I haven't heard reference to it at all, is anyone saying that we need to seriously pray to our triune God that He would eradicate this virus that's going on throughout the world. Mind you, I have heard the premier, our premier, say, God bless the people of Ontario. That's a good step in the right direction, but I still haven't heard anyone specifically praying to the Lord for its eradication. I'm convinced that the Christian church, locally and worldwide, needs to join together, and we need to pray. That is throughout our community, throughout our province, our country, and indeed throughout the world, and pray for God to eradicate the virus. There is a passage of Scripture which some of us know well. It's found in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles. Now let us hear this word. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, of course, this was written to Israel, the people of God in the Old Testament. We are not Israel's replacement, but we are, the church would be the people of God. And He's saying, come to me, and I will pray, and I will heal your land. So let us collectively and individually pray, and I'm now going to pray a very brief prayer, but very direct. So if you would join me in this prayer. Our Father in heaven, we humbly request that you eradicate this deadly virus from our families, our neighborhood, our community, our country, and throughout the world. May your name be glorified because of your action, Heavenly Father. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior, through the power of your precious Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to invite each one of us to continue to pray a prayer similar to that every single day until we see this virus eradicated. Now, back to our lesson for today. You know that over the past few weeks when Pastor Nate was preaching, he was preaching that we need to preach and teach, and we need to receive sound doctrine. Really important that we have sound doctrine in our mind and in our hearts. One of the reasons why I believe the Lord a number of months ago, convinced me that I should preach on the book of Revelation. This has been a long period of time, and it's going to take a number of weeks yet, even before we get through the book of Revelation. But the important part for me is that it is teaching a sound doctrine. We are going to know about the book of Revelation, and it's important. God gave us this book. He gave it for a reason. It's there for Christians, and we need to know what it says. And we have been attempting over the past number of weeks, at least when I've been preaching on this subject, to carefully explain what's going on in that book. I suspect that we, perhaps, as a congregation, know more about the book of Revelation than many others within our community. But it's important that we do know. And I came across a saying, a written statement this week, which I wish I had thought of it myself, but I did not. It was by Joel Rosenberg, a Jewish man who, you can tell by his surname, who is a believer in Jesus. And he's written a number of books. But he made this statement. He said, remember this, Revelation has not been written to scare us. It has been written to prepare us. Really important words, not to scare us, but to prepare us. And you and I need to be prepared with the knowledge of what's going to happen in the future. Now, you know that in our study so far, we have been talking about the tribulation period that happens after the rapture of the church. The tribulation comes. And during that tribulation period, we have observed that there are going to be two major systems and two people who are in charge of those major systems. The two major systems are a political system and a religious system. All of this is going to happen during the tribulation period. Keep in mind, every true believer in Jesus Christ has been extracted off the earth, are in glory with Jesus. What's left behind, the people who are here, they are going to gather together under a political system and under a religious system. Now, the person in charge of the political system is referred to as the Antichrist. Keep in mind this title, this word, Antichrist. Anti means against and means in place of. The Antichrist is coming, and he's going to proclaim that he is in place of Jesus. In fact, he'll claim he's in place of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then there is the world religious leader, and he is known as the false prophet. Again, take a look at that word, those two words, false prophet. Absolutely everything that he stands for, everything that he teaches will be false. It'll be false doctrine. He will not be pointing people to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Rather, he'll be pointing people to the Antichrist and to himself and to Satan. This is what's going to happen during this tribulation period. Now, just in order to keep this in perspective, I'm going to ask if we show the slide, please, that we've seen before, but it's just to help us understand where we are. Now, if you look at the slide, we are in the church age on the far left. The church age began at Pentecost and is going to end at the rapture. The rapture of the church, we are going to go up. Actually, that black arrow should be back there, but that's all right at the moment. And so at the church age, we're going to go up in the rapture. And then there is the tribulation period, the three yellow squares or rectangles. That's the lesser tribulation, the mid-tribulation, and the great tribulation. In our study, we are really close to the end of the great tribulation, the great part of that tribulation. At the end of the tribulation, that Armageddon should be at the end of that yellow bar. The Great Tribulation is going to be the Battle of Armageddon. And that's when the people on earth fight against the Lamb of God, fight against the Lord. And we know that then comes the 1,000-year reign of Jesus, and at the end is a new creation. And that just gives us a perspective as to what is going on. We read this in Revelation chapter 17. They, that is, the world political system and the world religious system, will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Now remember this, you and I belong to his called, chosen, and faithful followers. And we will have gone up with him in the rapture, and when he returns for that battle of Armageddon to complete it, to end it, we will be returning with him. So, the book of Revelation is forecasting what is going to occur. Now let us turn to our scripture passage today, which is found in Revelation 17, verses 15 to 18. Revelation chapter 17, verses 15 to 18. Just remember, there are 22 chapters in the book of Revelation, and we are now on the 17th chapter at the end. This is still giving us very important information. and I can hardly wait for us to get to Revelation chapter 22 to see all that is ahead for every believer in Jesus Christ. So now let us hear the word of God. Then the angel said to me, "The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. The beast and the ten horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin, leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to give the beast their power to rule until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw is the great city and rules over the kings of the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is one of the passages of Scripture, the language is being used, that if we don't have some sort of an explanation, it's a little bit difficult for us to fully understand. Now, as you know, in this tribulation period, we have already gone through in our study the unsealing of seven seal judgments and the blowing of seven trumpet judgments, and now we're toward the end of the pouring out of the seven bowls or seven vial judgments. And then one of these angels who's going to pour out the bowl of judgment has been giving instruction to John. There are three questions that emerge, at least three questions that emerge out of this passage of Scripture. The questions are, what are the waters? What is the betrayal? And what is the woman? Notice I didn't say who is the woman. I said what is the woman. So what are the waters? In chapter 17, verse 1, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came to me and said, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters." This great prostitute. What is this prostitute? This is the then worldwide religious system that is going to take place on the earth during the tribulation period. Remember this, it is a false system. Everything about it is wrong. Everything about it will be false. They will not be referring to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It will be the unholy Trinity, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, that will be highlighted during this period of time. So he tells us, the book of Revelation tells us, and the angel says, about this prostitute who sits on the many waters. The waters you saw, here's the explanation, where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. They're referring to many ethnological groups and nations of the world. The image we see is this religious system, which is absolutely false. God considers to be a prostitute religion, not the true bride of Christ at all, not the true religion. It's absolutely wrong. And it is a false belief system. Whatever we say, it's a false belief system. Now, who is going to be affected by this? There are three groups of people. Group number one will be the people of Israel. The people of Israel don't put their trust in Jesus as Savior. Therefore, they will not be going up in the rapture. There are Jewish people today who've accepted Jesus as Savior. Because they have done that, they will go up in the rapture. But most of the Jews have not, and they will be here. The second group of people will be the rest of the people of the world who did not turn to Jesus during their lifetime here on earth. And they will be operating here on earth, and they will be duped into following this false religious system. It indeed will be a lie. It's much like an apostate church that's going to take place during the tribulation. But yet there is a third group of people. And the third group of people are those who did not receive Christ as Savior before the rapture of the church, went into the tribulation, began to realize that they should have accepted Christ as Savior and have now done so. They are not part of the church, but they are believers in Jesus Christ. They are alive, active, and well around earth during the tribulation period. Remember, there are 144,000 Jewish evangelists that are going out throughout the earth during this tribulation period, and they will be preaching Jesus, preaching the word of God, and people will come. The scripture tells us it will be a number that you can hardly count that will be actually coming during the tribulation putting their trust and faith in Jesus. They're going to live a terrible life. They're going to be persecuted. Many of them will be killed for their faith. But nonetheless, there are these three groups of people. So what are the waters? The waters are the various ethnic groups and nations over which the false prophet and the world religious system will have an immense influence. The second question, first, what are the waters? Second, what is the betrayal? We read this in verse 16. The beast and the ten horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now that may be a little difficult for us to try and comprehend. Remember, this prostitute, this woman, was sitting on a beast. The beast had 10 horns, indicating 10 units of power. Some people believe that this will be the, well, the woman represents the religious system, the beast represents the political system throughout the world. And these 10, many for many years thought that it was going to be 10 nations emerging out of the now European Union, the revived Roman Empire. That may indeed be the case. But there are others who are thinking that it's going to be worldwide, not just centered in Europe, and therefore the whole world may be divided into 10 distinct districts with 10 people in charge, all reporting to the Antichrist, and whatever it is going to be remains to be seen. But we know that there are 10 power units, wherever they're operating from, all under the control of the Antichrist. Now, as we know, during that time, there's going to be a one-world government system. One world government, one world religion, one world economic or finance system. Now, you and I can hear today, people are calling for a one world government. People are calling for a one world religious system. Even the Pope of Rome has been promoting Christianity and Islam getting together, calling it Chrislam. It isn't going to work. It can't work. It's not possible. The people of Islam do not worship the same God that we worship. They do not put their trust in Christ as Savior. But there's nothing quite like a pandemic that we have now that causes people to think, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had one monetary system, one world government? One of the problems with President Trump to the world was that President Trump determined that he was not going to give up the sovereignty of the United States. Every country will have to give up its sovereignty if there's going to be one world government. And he wouldn't do so. And those who were globalists in their mind were very much against President Trump and his stand. They didn't like the fact that he got into power and wouldn't go along with globalization. But globalization, one way or another, is coming, and it's going to emerge completely through the tribulation period. But now we need to remember this. The Antichrist and the false prophet do everything against the will of God. They are influenced by Satan. In being influenced by Satan, remember, Satan can never, ever be trusted. The Antichrist and the false prophet can never, ever be trusted. I pray that there are none of us here today that have not received Christ as Savior. I pray that we all have, and we are looking forward to the rapture with keen anticipation. There may be some who've never received Christ as Savior. Let me tell you something. You ought to do it now. Ask him into your heart right now. Do not wait for the tribulation period to come. It's going to be a terrible situation, and people are going to be fooled into thinking that the Antichrist and the false prophet are correct. Remember this false, the Antichrist, he's going to sign a 7-year treaty with Israel for peace and for Israel to have its boundaries that it ought to have. But in the middle of this, halfway through the 7-year period, he's going to break the covenant, break the treaty. What did I say? Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet cannot be trusted in any way. They are false. They are anti the triune God. Now, what's going to happen? What about this betrayal? The betrayal is that the Antichrist has used the false prophet to bring him glory to every extent possible, and then the Antichrist says, I don't need him anymore. I'm not going to share glory with anyone. And he is going to dismiss the false prophet and this worldwide religion. That's what it's heading to. The scripture tells us that this religious system will be led to desolation, nakedness, cannibalism, and burning. I don't fully understand everything that that means, but what I do know is this. I look back in the Old Testament in 2 Kings, and there was a very wicked ruler by the name of King Ahab over Israel, and he had an even more wicked wife by the name of Jezebel. And Jezebel, the queen, misled her husband greatly. And the end result was the false religion of that time, the pagan gods of that time, were going to be defeated. And this woman, Jezebel, she was ultimately punished. Judgment came upon her. She was thrown off the balcony of the palace, trampled by horses, eaten by dogs. And the false church is around today and is going to be really around during the tribulation period. And the time will come when it is going to be totally defeated because it does not stand for God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We can see where the true believers in Christ are the bride of Christ, but anything else is a prostitute. What are the waters? The waters are the various ethnic groups and nations over which the false prophet and the Antichrist will be ruling. What is the betrayal? The betrayal is the Antichrist betrays the world religious system, the religious prostitute, and demands worship of himself. And the final question is, what is the woman? Not who is the woman, what is the woman? The bowl-holding angel gives John three important pieces of information. He tells John what the waters are, what the betrayal is, and what the woman is. We know that this woman is the false religion that will be on the earth at that time. It sits, the scripture says, on seven hills. The woman on the beast sits on seven hills. What are the seven hills? Many prophecy students over years believe strongly that it is the city of Rome. It's been known for being a city set upon seven hills. There are other cities that also are set upon seven hills, but many believe it'll be Rome. And it rules over the kings of the earth. This simply means that her religious reign is worldwide. People everywhere will be deluded. People today are being deluded. This is not the tribulation. We're leading up to the tribulation. We're leading up to the rapture of the church. But this religious system is going to permeate what's going on. And keep in mind, it is false, false, false. I believe it's going to look attractive to many people. They're going to say, ah, these Christians are out of here. Praise be to God, whatever God they're following. And then they will think, this is what we want to hear. We have itching ears. We want to hear it. And this is what they're going to follow. And it's going to be wrong. Just as a note, remember that this woman of Revelation 17 is not the same as the woman in Revelation 12, if you're doing any comparing. The woman in Revelation 12 refers to Israel, but the woman in Revelation 17 refers to this false religious system. The book of Revelation presents us with a fair detailed amount of questions, but it also provides a lot of answers. We need to study it, we need to look at it, and the answers are there. One of the major truths of the book of Revelation is that God is in control. God determined that this book should be shared with us, written and shared with us. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what happened in the past, what's going to happen in the future. The scripture tells us that he knows the end from the beginning. If I'd been writing that, as I told you before, I probably would have said he knows what's going on beginning to the end. But no, the scripture says he knows the end to the beginning. God knows everything that's going to happen in the future, and he has given us a glimpse. But because he's given us a glimpse, remember this, God is supreme. He knows everything that's going on. He knows your heart, and he knows mine. We know, because of the book of Revelation, things that are going to happen. We ought to be praying for our unsaved family members and unsaved friends. Because let me tell you something. We do not want them to go through the tribulation period. So here we are with some information that the Lord has given to us. We don't have it all, but we have a great deal. And what you and I need to keep our eye on in this day and age in which we live right now is any hint that we see in the news, on television, on the radio, in magazines, wherever, any hint about one world government, one world monetary system, or one world religion. We are not part of that one world religion. We are Christians. We are believers in Jesus Christ. Not everyone who says they are a Christian are a believer in Jesus Christ. We are believers in Christ. We place our trust in him. These things that I'm alluding to are happening before our eyes. The foundation is being laid now. Do I think that the Antichrist is alive on earth today? Do I think that the false prophet is alive on earth today? Yes, I do. Not identified, but alive, because I believe that these things are so close to us now. I believe that we are living in that age. So you and I need to keep looking up, because the rapture is going to occur. Our Father and our God, we offer praise, honor, and glory unto you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of Revelation. We know that it was not written and not presented to us and not available to us to scare us, but to prepare us and to prepare those whom we love. Lord, we pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon all who are here today, and that our influence will be positive for the name of Christ everywhere that we go. For we ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.